नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text 38. Text 37, I'm sorry.
Vyakriyahe tvayane shakartribir Maya guner vastu nirikshatatmane अन्वीक्षयाङ्गातिशयात्मबुद्धिभिर् निरस्तमायाकृतये नमो नमः।
ट्रांसलेशन् एण्ड् पर्पोर्ट् बै हिस् डिवैन् ग्रेस् A.C. भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रान्स्लेशन्: दि आब्जेक्ट्स् आफ् मटीरियल् एन्जाय्मेण्ट् sound, form, taste, touch and smell, the activities of the senses, the controllers of sensory activities, the demigods, the body, eternal time and egotism are all creations of your material energy. Those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as super soul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Purport: the objects of material enjoyment, the sensory activities, attachment to sensual pleasure, the body, false egotism, and so on, are produced by the Lord's external energy, Maya. The background of all these activities is the living being, and the director of the living beings is the super soul. The living being is not the all in all. He is directed by the super soul. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna confirms this. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entity depends on the super soul for directions. A person advanced in spiritual knowledge, or a person expert in the practice of mystic yoga, yama, niyama, asana, and so on, can understand transcendence either as Paramatma or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord is the original cause of all natural events. Therefore, He is described as Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Behind everything visible to our material eyes is some cause. And one who can see the original cause of all causes, Lord Krishna, can actually see. Krishna, the Sachidananda Vigraha, is the background of everything. As he himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayadyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagadviparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Hare Krishna. In this verse and purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the vision of those whose intelligence has become fixed. They see that this entire material world is created by the material energy of the Lord, and in the background of this material energy is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sachidananda Vigraha, the form of Sri Krishna. In one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that there are two types of researchers. Those who research material knowledge research limited objects in a limited time and space, and they become so fascinated and amazed at the details of the creation that Srila Prabhupada explains they become hypnotic. And they, in their hypnotism, accept the path of continuous research and through inductive ways try to find out more and more knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Nasato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. Ubayor api drishtontas tvanayos tattvadarshibihi. That those who are following the deductive process of knowledge, who hear knowledge from the authorities and have realized it, the tattvadarshibi, they see both. They see the material manifestation, but they are not blinded by in amazement, because they know that beyond the material manifestation is the creator, the cause of the material manifestation also, which is Krishna. Because the material scientists are so much absorbed in their material senses, they only see matter and they cannot see the spirit or the personality of Godhead beyond matter. For example, emotions, feelings. When scientists try to understand emotions and feelings, they only understand that it is simply some chemicals in the brain which are secreted, and therefore some particular emotions are experienced. Therefore they say that when a person is depressed or when a person has a particular negative emotion, then certain chemicals are imbalanced. So their theories are that they should take some tranquilizers, or they say eat chocolates. If children don't eat enough chocolates, then they become depressed when they grow up. This is the kind of theories they have. Or if they understand that people are suffering too much, that is because they are not laughing enough. When they laugh, there are some chemicals which secrete in the brain. So then they recommend laughing clubs, or they recommend some movies, some humorous movies. In fact, I was at BITS Goa last week, and actually one student asked me, he said, in your spiritual organization, do you have some humorous videos? Because if we see some humorous videos, then we'll become happy. Then we'll be very confident, satisfied, and we'll be able to study and work very nicely, efficiently. So all these theories root from the fact that they cannot see anything beyond matter, and they only understand chemicals as all in all. And this body is simply a lump of chemicals. In fact, Gaur Gopal Prabhu was telling us that joke, that there was this depressed clown who came to the psychiatrist. Oh, I told the joke, I'm sorry. There was a depressed person who came to the psychiatrist, and he said, I'm very depressed. So the psychiatrist said, outside of the window, there is a big circus. You should go and see the clown over there. He'll make you happy. He said, are you sure? And the psychiatrist said, of course. I myself went there, and I was so happy seeing that clown that all my depression personally went away. So then that person said, I am that clown who makes all the other people happy, but I myself am depressed. So simply running around in circles trying to find solutions to problems because of material understanding is not enough. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, one has to go beyond this material understanding to find solutions to material problems, spiritual solutions to material problems. In that purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains that Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, he smashes this theory in his Govinda Bhashya, his commentary to the Vedanta Sutra, that this entire material world has come from matter. If this theory is smashed, that simply matter is the cause, then all the other understandings that there is no supreme controller, this atheistic understanding is also smashed. Baldev Vidyabhushan explains that the Sankhya philosophy means that since matter is the cause, there are three qualities of matter: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Because of the quality of goodness, living entities experience happiness. Because of the qualities of passion, living entities experience suffering. And because of the qualities of because of the qualities of ignorance, living entities experience illusion. That's all. Atheistic Sankhya says, all experience in this world, because of the qualities of matter, is happiness because of goodness, suffering because of passion, and illusion because of ignorance. And the example given by the atheistic Kapila in his Sankhya philosophy is that if there is a beautiful woman and a man, he gets this beautiful woman as his wife, then he becomes very happy. If the same woman becomes angry with him or rejects him or rejects him, then this man in passion suffers like anything. And if this lady does not pay any attention to him at all, then in ignorance he goes into illusion. So externally seen, this is actually a fact. Nowadays in movies, this is exactly what we see. If somebody gets a beautiful woman, then he becomes very happy. If she rejects him, then he becomes angry young man. Another type of movie is made. And if she doesn't pay attention to him, then so many other songs also come which massage and pacify the hearts of other people who are in such ignorance and they are in illusion. So this is when one sees the material nature superficially as the cause of all material manifestations. However, Baldev Vidyabhushan nullifies that the cause of this material world is simply matter alone. Materialists give three other examples to understand how matter is the cause of everything. The example of the clay pot, the example of the tree, and the example of water. They say that just like clay is ultimately made into a clay pot, so clay is the cause, and clay pot is the creation. In the creation of the clay pot, what can we see? Nothing but clay. So similarly, matter is the cause, and from matter, so many other creations are created. And in the creation, what we see? Matter. Thus, all the inanimate objects come from matter. Then they give the example of the tree. That tree is matter, but tree can create fruits. Tree can produce. Similarly, so many productions we see in this world, they also come from matter. So matter can produce. Matter has the power to produce. And the third example he gives is of water. That water is matter, and water can flow. So matter has the power to actually flow and create movements. Thus, he concludes that matter is the cause of everything inanimate, cause of everything animate, because matter can produce also, and matter can create movements and flow. So just like a clay pot is produced from clay, just like fruits are produced from a tree, or water which moves is ultimately matter, similarly inanimate objects or objects that produce other things or movements of the living entities are all ultimately created by matter. And that's a fact in one sense, because when we were in school, we studied biology at a very low level. I think it was the 7th standard or the 5th standard where biology was introduced. And they taught us the difference between a living entity and a non-living entity is that which moves and that which does not move. Simple. That which breathes, that which does not breathe. So atheistic Sankhya, when seen superficially, simply as matter as the cause, says that matter can produce, matter can move, matter produces inanimate things, so matter is the cause of everything. However, Balde Vidya Bhushan starts commenting in his Govinda Bhashya that seeing this vast cosmic manifestation, common sense says that there must be some living brain behind this wonderful manifestation. How can this such a complicated manifestation come on its own? And he gives the example that no common sense person can accept that some bricks lying on the street can mix together to become a building on its own. There must be some living brain that must have thought of how to design these bricks together to make a building. And then he takes one by one each of these examples that the materialists give. The first example that he takes is of the clay and the clay pot. He says this is a bogus example, because this clay pot can be compared to the body. But the body cannot experience happiness, nor can the body experience distress, nor can the body experience illusion. Because in goodness one experiences happiness, in passion one experiences distress, and in ignorance one experiences illusion, according to the materialistic people also. Now this experience is something internal. One perceives happiness and distress internally. So if we say that material manifestation is the cause of this happiness and distress, then this body cannot just experience happiness or distress. That causes something else, which is not just matter. Something higher than matter. Something beyond matter. That means it points to the presence of the soul. Then he takes the example of the tree. Materialistic people say that tree, it grows from the soil automatically. Sometimes, even without a gardener, a tree can grow. In the forests, we see so many trees growing. So there is no necessity of a gardener. There is no necessity of a controller. A seed can automatically grow into a tree. However, Balde Vidya Bhushan says that actually this is not possible. Materialistic people say that the seed has a tendency to grow, and the intuition is there within the tree, because we see that the tree grows towards sunlight. So it's automatically there within the tree, the intuition and the tendency, so it grows. But Balde Vidya Bhushan says that this tendency to grow and this intuition to grow in the right direction is not available in the body. And Prabhupada says we can profit by seeing the example of the car and the driver. The car has a tendency to go towards the left. When the car is manipulated, it has the intuition to go towards the right. However, the car cannot go towards the left, neither towards the right, without the intention of the driver. The car has a tendency. It can go towards the left. It can go towards the right. Unless there is a driver, it will go neither to the left nor to the right. So, similarly, these material manifestations, this material world, has a tendency to grow and intuition, but not of its own. Unless there is a driving force, unless there is a controller, a supervision that is managing it, till then it cannot grow simply on its own. So matter itself is not the cause of creation. Behind matter is spirit, and behind all is the supreme personality of Godhead. Similarly, the mind is also compared to a car. In the sense that if a person sits in the mind, immediately the mind starts moving. If the spirit activates the mind, then the mind, it acts practically like a different person. It gives so many ideas, it gives so many thoughts, desires. And the mind starts moving as soon as the soul activates it. However, the mind does not have its complete, separate, independent existence. One time I remember Nityanand Prabhu had asked this question to Jananivas Prabhu in our Brahmachari class. Brilliant question and very brilliant answer. He asked that when we are sitting and chanting Hare Krishna, we find that the mind just goes all over the place and we can't focus on chanting Hare Krishna. The mind is like a demon and it doesn't allow us to hear the holy names. So why does the mind behave like that? What should we do? It sometimes becomes impossible to control the mind and we are in some hallucination. Externally, the holy names are being chanted with the tongue, but internally the mind is not focusing on hearing. That's why Satswarup Maharaj writes in Japa Walk, Japa Talk book that chanting Hare Krishna is very easy. But praying to the holy name, taking shelter of the holy name is very difficult. And absorbing oneself in the holy name. Three things he says. Praying to the holy name, taking shelter of the holy names, and absorbing oneself in the holy names. That is very difficult. Therefore Bhakti Yoga is simultaneously very easy and difficult. Very easy because chanting Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada says, even a child can take part and even a dog can take part, Srila Prabhupada says. However, it is difficult to absorb oneself, the mind, or to take shelter completely in the holy names. So Jananivas Prabhu explained that one should not feel that, oh, this mind is an independent element completely and it is troubling me and I have no control whatsoever. No. Actually, we allow the mind to go in all the directions. Because we find some taste and happiness in other thoughts, other activities, other desires of which we have previous experiences. Therefore, we allow the mind to go over there. We should not just give up the responsibility. Oh, I can't do anything. The mind is running in all the directions. We have the free choice, the free will to actually control the mind. And therefore, in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says that there will be a battle between the mind and Krishna. Maya will pull us in one direction, Krishna will pull us in another direction. And then gradually, Krishna will attract our mind completely. And then we will be able to chant the holy names purely. So it is not that we do not have the free will at all. We do have the free will to control our minds. The other day, Burijan Prabhu, he very beautifully explained how different people react to the knowledge that they have a free will. Some people, they just reject the fact that, oh, I have a free will. They feel very bad about it. And they hope that they never had a free will at all. And they feel it would be so nice to be like a stone, so peaceful. Or just see the animals, they are flying in the sky. They are so happy. The birds are flying in the sky. The animals are on the streets. So if I didn't have this free will, it would be so wonderful. This is like the satisfaction of an animal like that we see on the railway station. Sometimes the dogs are simply just peacefully sitting on the railway station. And the human beings are running to catch trains. They're in so much stress and they wonder, oh, it would be so nice if I was just like this dog, wouldn't have any anxiety. But the satisfaction of an animal who has hardly any free will is low class, because in other situations the animal has to suffer so much. Srila Prabhupada says that if a dog is thrown some chapatis or some rotis, then so many dogs come to fight towards for it. Even the birds, when they're eating some grains, they're constantly looking in this direction, that direction, whether some danger is coming. So they are almost always in fear. Then there are those who glorify the free will. They are very happy that they have some free will by which they can act in this world. And they use that human energy, they actually worship that human energy, that life, so that they can create economic development, they can create so many gadgets and things in this world. Srila Prabhupada observed that, just see, when the Americans came, when the Englishmen who were colonizing America, when the Europeans came to America, there was nothing over here. Now there are huge, huge cities. So human being has a free will And this free will is used for economic development. People are very happy that I have a chance to now create so many things in this world. Then when one comes to Krishna consciousness, one understands that, oh, actually I'm responsible because of this free will. I have a free will to act, but then when I act with this free will, the consequences come upon me. So then Burijan Prabhu was explaining, some people curse the Lord. Why did you give me this free will? It's like a person who is sick. He has the free will to enjoy whatever food he wants, varieties of foods that he wants. But then when he eats too much because he has the free will, then he falls sick. Then he curses the Lord. Why did you give me this free will? Why did you give me this tongue so that I can enjoy so much? As an animal, the animal just keeps eating whatever it eats. A tiger will never eat grass and a cow will never eat meat. But a human being will create so many varieties of food with his free will to enjoy. And then gradually when he understands that, oh, not only do I have the free will to enjoy, but the consequences also come, then he suffers. Then he sometimes curses God. Why did you give me this free will? Why am I suffering so much? And then, at the highest level, when the living entity properly uses his or her free will to surrender unto Krishna, to offer the free will to Krishna, then one experiences the highest satisfaction of Krishna consciousness. So there is a satisfaction of an animal where one has no clear idea of the free will. Then there is a satisfaction of the materialistic people who have a free will and who try to enjoy within this world. And then there is a satisfaction of the advanced devotees. There is a difference of the levels of satisfaction in each. When materialistic people say, oh, I'm happy, life is great. It's a fact. They're happy and their life is great. But it's like Bhakti Vikas Maharaj writes, live life king size and then die ant size and next life become dog size or cat size. So when they have advertisements of smoking, live life king size, there is happiness in that, no doubt. But that is the happiness of an animal. Because it's constantly in fear. So a devotee also experiences satisfaction because of surrendering one's free will to Krishna. But the devotee's happiness and satisfaction is unlimited. In that sense, a devotee never becomes satisfied. A devotee is satisfied but not satiated. A non-devotee is satiated but never satisfied. That means they experience some little bit of joy, become satiated. But doesn't develop the deep satisfaction of the soul. And a devotee, he's satisfied. But that satisfaction goes on increasing and therefore there is no limit. Doesn't become satiated. The example is given of the ocean. Srila Prabhupada explains that the ocean, deep within, is very calm, satisfied, quiet. Deep within the ocean, there's hardly any movement. In fact, when the tsunami came, the researchers explained that there were some people, some boatmen, fishermen, who were on the ocean. Means they had gone ahead into the ocean. And they did not even get a glimpse or an idea that such a huge tidal wave is coming under the ocean which would kill lakhs of people. In fact, when the boats were on the ocean, they just experienced a bump, like a speed breaker, you know. Because from below the ocean, this huge current was coming, and they just experienced the pressure of the current. And when the current came near the ocean, near the shore, then it exploded into the tsunami, and it completely flooded the nearby areas. So those who were on the shore, on the land, they were destroyed, and the fishermen who were in the ocean a little bit ahead, nothing happened to them. Because deep within the ocean, it's calm. One cannot experience. But the waves on the ocean, they sometimes move very much. So a devotee deep within is very calm and satisfied. Externally, it may appear that there are some waves while in this world. However, when the moon rises, then the ocean goes mad. Then the waves on top of the ocean completely become higher and higher. Similarly, when Krishna Krishna Chandra, the moon of Krishna, when the moon of Krishna rises, then that calm ocean, a devotee who is calm and satisfied within, because so many rivers of material desires are coming, but the ocean is not disturbed. The heart of a devotee, which is large like an ocean, satisfied, is not disturbed in spite of so many material desires coming. But when the moon of Krishna rises, then that satisfaction of the devotee reaches its zenith, reaches its heights. And a devotee, and the happiness of his heart, rises in the emotions towards the moon or towards Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, a happy devotee is the best preaching. In fact, Burijan Prabhu also spoke such a sweet pastime of Srila Prabhupada. It actually touched my heart very much. Burijan Prabhu was explaining that in Calcutta, devotees had so many problems because the temple was so small and the facilities were not enough. And the devotees were just waiting that when Prabhupada comes, we will complain. We'll say, Prabhupada, the facilities are not enough, there are so many problems. And when Prabhupada actually came in and it was time for Ishta Goshti, Prabhupada was smiling and beaming, and all the devotees were sitting in front of Srila Prabhupada, and they were smiling and beaming, taking darshan of their spiritual master, so beautiful, so wonderful. And all the devotees who had waited for so long to be able to complain to Srila Prabhupada, nobody was speaking anything. And one lady just spoke up, saying, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. There are no problems. Srila Prabhupada said, Jai. That is right. In Krishna consciousness, there are no problems. And all the devotees were smiling and completely happy. And when they would go outside of Srila Prabhupada's association, all those baggage of problems would come back. Come back upon them. So he explained that his experience of being with Srila Prabhupada was just like his experience of walking on the altar towards Radha and Krishna, worshipping them on the altar. And how was this possible? Because Srila Prabhupada had Radha and Krishna in his heart always. So when a devotee has Krishna in his heart, then a devotee is always happy. And such a happy devotee is the best preacher. Therefore, Baldev Vidya Bhushan explains that there is free will, and this free will belongs to the living entity. And this free will is actually nothing, is not a creation of this material world or the material energy. In fact, the perfection of this free will, if when surrendered to Krishna, is seen in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is explained by Brahmaji that if one just gives up this jnane prayasam, if one gives up just trying to understand this material energy on its own as the cause of everything, and surrenders unto the Lord, then something very wonderful happens. Magic happens. And what is that? Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam bhavadiya vartam sthane stita shruti gatam tanuvan manobir ye prayasho jita jitopyasita istrilokyam. It is explained that if one just gives up this jnane prayasamudapasya namanta eva and becomes humble and offers obeisances to the Lord, namanta eva, jivanti mukharitam, bhavatiya vardam, and spends one's life in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, sthane stita shruti gatam, tanuvan manobhir, and absorbs himself with tanuvan manobhir, with the body, mind and words, in glorifying the Lord, offering one's complete self, one's entire free will to the Lord, then the Lord, who has given this entire free will, he loses his free will. Krishna is Ajita. Nobody can control Krishna. Nobody can conquer Krishna. But that Krishna, who is the fountainhead of all liberties, or who has given free will to the living entity, that Krishna becomes bound and conquered. Has no more free will. Ye prayasho, this effort, jita ajita pis trilokyam. The unconquerable becomes conquered. Therefore, we find that, I'll make an honest confession. We were discussing that how in the beginning of devotional service, sometimes devotees blame the Lord. Why do I have this free will? I'm just suffering. I have the free will to enjoy in this world, to eat this, to eat that. But then I suffer myself because I have this volition. I can do what I want. And then they blame the Lord. Or sometimes in suffering, because one cannot see the Lord's hand, one blames the Lord that you're not doing this right thing for me. Like in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the wife of Maharaj Chitraketu, Kritadyuti. She was blaming the Lord that you are a less intelligent creator. The law is that the child should die first, then the father should die. But here we find, first the father should die, then the child should die. But here we find that the child has died first. Therefore, you do not have enough intelligence to create properly. Not knowing that that same child's death would be the cause of the father's liberation. Because Harshashoka died and then he came back to give transcendental knowledge, Chitraketu Maharaj got transcendental information. So, in our neophyte state, sometimes we blame the Lord or we become bewildered as to why things are happening. But then eventually as we mature, then we can understand why the Lord acts. So I'll make an honest confession. It is a fact that for so many years in Krishna consciousness, I just could not adjust why Krishna left Vrindavan and never came back. It was too much for us to take. Come on, the devotees are suffering so much. In fact, it is such a sad scene that when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that the gopis were watching, the Vrajvasis were watching the chariot of Krishna moving. And the last thing they could see was the tip of the flag of Krishna's chariot. And they stood there till they saw the last grain of dust that was created by the chariot. And then Prabhupada concludes this discussion, this episode by saying, the devotees stood there like painted pictures. And it was such a pitiful scene that the heart would break. Now it's amazing actually, a painted picture is just completely lifeless. To what degree the devotees must have missed the presence of Krishna when he had just left. And Krishna did not come to Vrindavan for over 100 years. So much suffering. Why did Krishna put his devotees into so much suffering? So of course we did not have doubts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Most of the times we accept it. We do not have doubts that Krishna does everything for our own good. Most of the times we accept it. But why does Krishna put his devotees, his best devotees into so much suffering? And then gradually when we asked this question to senior devotees, we got one answer. And the other answer, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, which completely satisfied us. It's an amazing answer. In Sarartha Darshini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Uddhav came back into Vrindavan, he had a letter from Krishna. And in his letter from Krishna, first Uddhav explained to the gopis that, why do you worry? Krishna is everywhere. In fact, everything comes from Krishna. So this the devotees of Vrindavan were not ready to accept. They said, Krishna is everywhere, but the more we go around in Vrindavan, the fact is actually Krishna, we remember Krishna because Krishna did so many pastimes over here and that gives us more pain. So you don't tell us that Krishna is everywhere. We don't want to hear this. Then he said, but Krishna is Paramatma in the heart. He's in everyone's heart. They said, that is one of the... Then it's a big problem again. Because since we see Vrindavan everywhere and we see Krishna's pastimes everywhere and we remember Krishna so intensely and we can't bear the separation from him, it's too painful, so we close our eyes. And now you're telling us that Krishna is in our heart. We are trying to meditate so we can forget Krishna. And now you're saying Krishna is in the heart. We don't want this answer also. We're not satisfied to hear this. And then Uddhav gave his final answer. What that answer was is beyond the scope of the class and beyond the scope of my realization also. But that answer which Krishna gave is so, which Uddhav gave to the gopis is so fascinating that it completely satisfied them. In essence, what he told them is, in essence, in short, in brief, Actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that when Uddhav entered into Vrindavan, he saw two scenes. One scene is he saw that all the devotees were making garlands, the houses were very beautiful, beautifully decorated, cleansed, and they were taking milk out from the cows and created so, making so many offerings for Krishna. Because just in case Krishna comes back today, then we should all be ready to glorify Krishna, to offer ourselves to Krishna in so many ways. And the other manifestation Uddhav saw was of complete devastation. Uddhav saw that the devotees were crying, emaciated. Nanda Maharaj and Yashodamai had not even cleansed their house. They didn't even care for the cows. The cows did not care to feed milk to the cows, their calves, and the cows did not care to drink from the cows. And it was a complete state of devastation. And then in that huge purport, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that actually there were two sets of Vrindavan created. One set of Vrindavan where Krishna had not actually left Vrindavan because Krishna does not take one step outside of Vrindavan. And the other entire Vrindavan was created where the devotees felt that Krishna had left Vrindavan. Or they actually saw the Vasudev aspect of Krishna leaving with Akrura. So they could experience separation from Krishna. So simultaneously two Vrindavans were going on. One was where devotees were feeling separation from Krishna, and one was where devotees were with Krishna. So this mood of separation was created to give them the highest experience so that when they would meet Krishna, it would be glorious. And therefore, Madan Gopal Prabhu told us in his classes of Brihad Bhagavatamrit, where Krishna is telling Narad Muni that I cannot go back to Vrindavan. The reason I cannot go back to Vrindavan is because right now they are in so much separation, they are suffering. Balramji could not satisfy them, Uddhav could not satisfy them completely. So if I go there, then they will be very happy. However, two things will happen. One is, they will constantly be in fear that I will leave. And this time if I leave, they will not be able to maintain themselves. They will be finished. So even if I go to Vrindavan, they will not be satisfied because they will be in constant fear that I will leave. And if I go to Vrindavan, still that feeling of separation will not be at its zenith because they will be in my association. So they will not get the highest pleasure. So Krishna is saying, therefore, I will not go to Vrindavan. Whether I go or I don't go, they are constantly going to remain in suffering. So I will not be able to make them happy and satisfied. And the other answer Govindprabhu gave us was, where Krishna, he is telling the devotees, the gopis in Vrindavan, why did I leave you? Why did I put you in so much suffering and separation? Na parayeham niravadya samyujam swasadu krityam vibudayushapivah yamadurjarageha shrinkhala samvrishta tadva pratiyatu sadunah. Krishna, who is the fountainhead of all liberties and freedom, says, sorry, I have been conquered, I have been defeated. Na parayeham niravadya samyujam, I have nothing more to offer unto you now. I have become a slave of your devotion. Your devotion is so valuable, is such a great treasure, that even in a lifetime of Brahma, if I try to offer you things back in return, that's negligible, insignificant compared to your devotion and love. Therefore, let this devotional service itself be your treasure, your reward. And in this way, Krishna becomes defeated. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan, after defeating the Sankhya philosophers, saying that simply matter is not the cause of everything. Just like clay is the cause of clay pot, or tree is the cause of fruits, and water is the cause of moving water. That is a fact. But beyond all this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given the free will to the living entity, who manages everything within this world, ultimately under the direction of the Super Soul. Therefore, Devahuti, she prays to her son Kapiladev.
Yo yogo bhagavan bano nirvinatmam svayoditaha kidrisha katichangani yatastatvava bodhanam.
Yo yogo bhagavat bano. She says, you please explain to me bhakti yoga, which is like an arrow. Bhakti yoga is such a fast and swift arrow that it penetrates this material world, it penetrates the impersonal realization, and it penetrates even the localized Paramatma realization, and it goes directly at the lotus feet of the Lord. So this is the desire of the devotees. They do not want to simply see matter as the cause of everything. They do not even want to see the Brahman as the cause of everything or the Paramatma. But the arrow of Bhakti Yoga, they want it to go directly at the lotus feet of the Lord, which can completely satisfy his devotees. Thus, in this translation, it is explained, those whose intelligence has become fixed by perfect execution of mystic yoga can see that all these elements result from the actions of your external energy. They can also see your transcendental form as the super soul in the background of everything. Therefore, I repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Grantraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Tai Gaur Premanande.